Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We'll be facing a very, very important issue today that I believe you need to stay tuned. Pick up the telephone and invite others to join in the dialogue and discussion. And by the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. We'll be asking the question this morning, and I think it's the top of the news, and it's on the heart and minds of every, sane citizen in America, with the shooting at the Michigan State University, three dead, five injured. The shooter supposedly annihilated himself. So we'll be talking about the question, though, that's the end result of this and other shootings like that. They call them mass shootings. Should citizens have a right to self-defense? Should citizens have a right of self-defense? Now, you would say, well, of course we do. Our Bill of Rights says so. Does it? Is it something that's absolute? Is it something that can be infringed upon? Is it something that government gave us and government can take away? Is our Second Amendment right dependent upon the temperature in America with how the politicians feel, think, or say based on their political ideological bent? Is the Second Amendment right swinging in the balance in the crosshairs of the societal thought because we're horrified by seeing shootings like this? Let me just do a little parenthetical footnote on that statement. You can go back to every, and may I say again, every mass shooting that we've had in America, and you will find two or three major key components that's rarely spoken of in the socialist, Marxist, communist network news. And that is that each of the shooters had been or were presently on some type of psychotropic drugs. Secondly, every one of them, with a rare exception, happened to be young males in fatherless or out of fatherless homes. So may I say to you that we're watching a replay, a repeat of the same thing taking place over and over, and yet all we hear is the need to, cancel our Second Amendment rights. We'll be talking about that today, and so that you will understand at the very outset, I am privileged to have a book I'm holding in my hand, a very simple, short book, less than 100 pages, and ladies and gentlemen, it's entitled The Doctrine of Self-Defense, The Doctrine of Self-Defense. And it covers our right to keep and bear arms. And may I say to you, we'll read some excerpts from it later in the broadcast today, but may I say to you, for every caller today, if you do not already have one of these books in your hands and would like to have one, leave your telephone number and your address and name with our call screener, and AJ will take the information. Get it to us, and we will shoot this in the mail to you. We will pay for the book. We'll pay for the postage. We want it in your hands. It's the doctrine of self-defense. We'll talk about the need for this book and the need to understand our Second Amendment right in the culture in which we're living today. We'll talk about where the Second Amendment right is found in the Scripture. May I say to you, the Second Amendment right is codified in the Scripture, confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court, to be carried out by we the people, we the citizens. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the heart of the matter today and start the dialogue and discussion on it, let me remind you again that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Be delighted to have your dialogue and discussion on the issue. Immediately following our monologue today, we'll be inviting you to call and asking you some questions, allowing you to give your insight on the subject today. Should citizens have the right of self-defense? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, as we do each and every day on this broadcast, let me remind you that would do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. May I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, it's God's word that has the first, foremost, and final authority on what we think, say, or do. May I say once again, as we look out across the landscape of our cities, our states, our nation, and our world, and we see the things that's taking place, let me encourage you to look at these from the perspective of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, looking at the world's events through the prism of the Word of God. It's the truth book. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Knowing the truth and the truth setting us free is predicated upon staying, continuing, constantly being in the Word of God, which indicates whether or not we're a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's literally the translation of what that those two verses say. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." It's not something that you're today and gone tomorrow. It's not predicated upon the socialist Marxist media or those that are in Washington. It's not predicated on the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. The truth of the Word of God is found in the Word of God. It's the truth book. And may I suggest to you that we stay in the Word, listen to the Word, and understand that that is the source book for all truth. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where truth is hated. Truth is rejected. Truth is dismissed. I go back to the secularist George Orwell, where he made the statement. It's found in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that was published in about 47, 48, 49. That's 1947, 48, 49. But it was ultimately published under the title 1984, where in the dystopian novel, Orwell was projecting what would be taking place in America in 1984. Well, he got pretty much right most of what was said. Not read the book, I've read excerpts from it. But he was correct with the exception of the date. It was not 1984. We could see some major leanings, bents, and directions to where we are today back in 84, but not to the fullness that we see today. But Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be true. If I can use that spin on the term, we can find that to be true today. But ladies and gentlemen, most millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, in fact, the latest survey says 55% of the millennials today say that each person determines their own version of truth. This is a poor, poor, poor rationale. It's an irrational reasoning. It is a circular reasoning that my truth is the real truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not the case at all. It is sad to say, but we find that that is the condition in our nation today. And as a result of it, I think we can say that that's the baseline for finding the declension and the rejection of truth in general in our great nation. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And may I suggest that we do that today. Stand on the truth, love the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, defend it. And I believe the longer we see the wait before the church is raptured out and the Lord Jesus Christ brings about through the Antichrist the total dismissal of anything that's called anything but chaos and confusion through the Antichrist, I think we're witnessing today the last of the last days based on the eschatological prophetic text in the Word of God. And I believe that the closer we get to that, the more we're going to see the evisceration of truth, the detestation of truth, the reprisal because of telling the truth. And I believe we need to stand on truth regardless of what the future holds. We stand on the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. This portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The same staff, the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time, can answer your questions, ladies and gentlemen, about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, it's at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a wonderful benchmark, 165-foot flagpole flowing with the Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me simply say this. As we think on the subject today, should Christian citizens have the right to self-defense? You know, it's God that gave us the right to self-defense. It's God that gave us the first understanding of what we call today the Second Amendment. I'm looking at my Bible, and it is neither here nor there, but it's on page 752 in my Bible. It's in a little book called the Book of Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R, little book of Esther, the 8th chapter, beginning with about verse 8, 9, and following. But ladies and gentlemen, the fact was that the king had been given the given the authority for the people to murder all of the Jews, to put them to death. He discovered that he had been lied to and deceived when Queen Esther told him the truth behind what he had signed and what they had tricked him into doing. And he understood the law of the Medes and the Persians. He could not go back and alter his legislative penmanship, if you will, but he could write a new law. And that's exactly what he did. In fact, the scripture says in about verse 11, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and the province that which assaults them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day of all the provinces, the king Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. I call it D-Day. Listen to what the scripture says. The copy of the writing of the commandment of the given to every province was published unto all the people, and that the Jews should be ready against the day to avenge themselves upon the enemies. So the post, the ride of the mules, they carried it out. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the balance of the text, it talks about it was carried out. The, if you please, the courier mules were had gone out with the notes for the 127 provinces in that day to notify them. Listen, let me summarize it. When the enemy comes to kill you, God's word says that the Jewish people were notified that you have the right permission from God to stand up and to slay those that will come in to harm, to kill, and destroy you and your family. Now, I could go on and on and on. We'll touch on several other places in the Old and the New Testament today in relationship to God's giving us the Second Amendment. We call it the Second Amendment because it's recorded in our Bill of Rights, and it's the Second Amendment. And in the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, it's the one that has the great authority that we find today that's being undermined. In fact, in the Second Amendment, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the, for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. What does that mean? You can't change it, modify it? No. Does that mean that you can just eviscerate it and say that it's not real? No. Does that mean that somehow, some way, circumstances and events in society would modulate and change the Second Amendment right? No. In fact, That is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the Second Amendment is the given to us by Holy God, and we need to recognize, as Tucker Carlson said on one of his broadcasts not too long ago, he said, without the Second Amendment, you do not have any other amendments. In other words, the Second Amendment, as he saw it, and it can be seen very easily, without the Second Amendment, you have no way to defend and protect all of our other amendments in our Bill of Rights. So it is one of the cardinal benefits that we have of our the Scripture and of our God-fearing forefathers, founding fathers, that gave that to us. I'm looking at an article, page 3 in my book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense. The first 10 amendments of our Constitution are called the Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment is very important for we the people. We have 27 amendments to the Constitution, and the Second Amendment is one of those that is referred to as inalienable right. It is a right of the people under the Constitution. We the people have the right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment is the only one that codifies the phrase not to be infringed upon. Further, on page 5 in my book, the title of which is The Doctrine of Self-Defense, it's yours today, ladies and gentlemen, free. We'll pay the postage even to get it to you. If you call in today, for every caller that calls in, leave word with AJ that you would like to have a copy of the book. Leave him your name, address, and telephone number, and we'll see that you get one shipped right to your door. This article says on page 5, one writer put it this way, a disarmed public people are neither free nor safe. They become the prey of criminals and the plaything of tyrants. Further, Death by Government, Professor R.J. Rummel, wrote these words, concentrated political power is the most dangerous power on earth. For power to concentrate and become dangerous, the citizens must first be disarmed. It is the idea of gun control that will disarm our very own citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today. In fact, we could go on and on and on, excerpts from the book, but simply put, it's yours free and postage paid today. If you make a call, call in, ask questions, join in the dialogue and discussion on this subject today. Should citizens have the right to keep and bear arms? Let me just substitute with a thought in this fashion. Based on what we're seeing with the so-called mass killings, the mass shootings, based on what we've just seen at Michigan State University, do you think it'd be wise to just cancel the Second Amendment? Would it be wise to simply disarm everyone and take weapons from everyone so that we would be a safe nation? The question is, if you outlaw all weapons, will we be safe in America? Perhaps that's the better way to put it. But ladies and gentlemen, we understand that we have this right to keep and bear arms, but it is right now in the crosshairs of most all of our legislators, especially from the blue states, the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic people in Washington that wants to take away our Second Amendment right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our Second Amendment's codified in the scripture, confirmed by the courts to be carried out by we the citizens. But ladies and gentlemen, the latest news, a drug deranged, I think, disturbed people across America continue to go out and kill people, and it appears that the socialist Marxist Democrats use each of these shootings. Listen, they use each of these shootings to up the temperature and up the rhetoric and increase the sound that we've got to control weapons. Gun control, gun control, gun control. The most recent shooting occurred, perhaps you've seen it, most of the news channels had it 24/7 almost since the shooting took place at Michigan State University. Michigan State University, the sad truth is that 3 people were killed. We mourn for those families today, ladies. I'm not saying this today as being non-sensitive statement in relation to what happened. We're saddened. I believe any sane citizen is saddened when we see a senseless murderer go in and fire weapons, whether it's a AR-15, whether it's a weapon of war, or whether it's a handgun, whether it's a automatic or a revolver, doesn't make any difference. Most of our politicians can't tell you the difference in the type of weapon anyway. But ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to see that happen. We mourn for those families that now have lost loved ones as a result of it. 3 were killed and 5 were injured, as we understand it, and the gunman supposedly took his own life. Now, I don't know whether that's the case or not. Not arguing that point. If he did, I understand that some people want to commit suicide and they don't know how, and so they arrange some confrontation with law enforcement so that it's what is called suicide by cop, and this could be the case. I don't know, but I'm absolutely, how would you say, in a state of conundrum from my standpoint. Why is it that all of a sudden, listen very carefully, listen to the rationale, listen to what I'm saying, in just about every other, quote, mass shooting, immediately the news media, the socialist Marxist media, the Communist Network News, they would tell you the history of that person. They would tell you what was on his Facebook. They would tell you where he went to church, if he did. They would tell you whether he was a Democrat or Republican. They, in fact, in most cases, the media would already be telling you that this man was a Trump follower. He had a MAGA hat on. Perhaps he had posted on his social media that he was going to kill people for Trump, et cetera, et cetera. Do you find it odd that there is a silence in the media about the man's social media, about the man's background? They've not interviewed, to my knowledge, the man's next-door neighbor. In fact, they don't even want to tell you the address where he lived. They're not wanting to have anything publicized about the history of the man. The only thing that they would give was on the late news and the early news, said a black man, 43 years old, did the shooting. Now, that's pretty generic. That's pretty generic. Generally, they wouldn't even give the race. Generally, they would not even show a photograph because they did not want the general public to know the potential connectivity to Islam, the Islam extremists, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, may I say the overwhelming majority of these that have taken place, either by those that are either Islamics or Islamic sympathizers that wanted to strike out. We'll talk about some of those later in this broadcast today. But I want us to understand that this is a sad scenario. 43 years old, did the killing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says this. Black gunman kills three, wounds five at Michigan State University. Now, my question is, and this is perhaps just me, perhaps you've not even thought of it, they normally do not give the race of the person. They do not give any photographs. But in this one, they immediately give a photograph. They immediately say it's a black gunman. They won't even say generally if it's a white person or if it's a black person or if it's an Islamic person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They won't show the picture. Why are they doing this? Are they planning on making a racist issue out of this? So far, they've not said so. But it's my most humble opinion that at some point in time, they'll make the lurch and contend that that was the case. This is Dateline February the 14th, 2023. Three people were killed and five injured during an active shooter situation at Michigan State University Monday night. MSU police and public safety confirmed on Twitter. The gunman was found deceased off campus after a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Michigan State University Police Interim Deputy Police Chief confirmed during the 12:30 a.m., that was early morning, briefing, police did not provide a name for the suspect or any of the victims. Police responded to a call regarding an active shooter around 8:30 p.m. at Michigan State University Berkeley Hall. Students were informed to shelter in place immediately to run, to hide, and to fight. F-I-G-H-T, that's run, hide, and fight. That's the mantra that's being used now in schools or places of business where there's an active shooter. According to the text message sent by the university and obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation, run means to evacuate away from danger and is what you, if it is what you can do safely. Hide means to secure in place, and fight means to protect yourself if there's no other option, according to the university alert. The suspect is reportedly believed to be on foot and described as a short male with a mask, possibly black, according to MSU police, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a sad, sad scenario. I'm not trying to minusculize it, make it small at all. It's a large thing. It's a bad thing. But ladies and gentlemen, when you compare across the nation the number of weapons that are legal weapons in the hands of citizens in America, when you compare that to the number of shootings and you look at on the basis compared to the number of population just 50 years ago and the number of weapons in the hands of people then and the number of shootings and compare that today, it's minuscule as far as the number of shootings. When you compare, and most of the time these Communist Network News people and the politicians will give you the total number of shootings including all legal police shootings. But they'll include all of those shootings in what they call the number of shootings, the number of deaths as a result of shootings. They will not tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist media, nor the Communist Network News and the political bent for gun control. They will not tell you how many people, people's lives were saved as a result of legal gun owners shooting the enemy. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at this from the prism of what we see on both sides of the aisle and what the ultimate goal happens to be. Here's an article. Tucker Carlson, colon, they're fully intent on disarming the entire population. Fox News host reacts to the politicization of the Texas school shooting on Tucker Carlson tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a recap. It's about a 10-page article. It's a recap going back to the Uvalde school shooting and bringing it up to date with the other shootings and what has taken place in that realm and what we need to understand, the end result and where it's going with the media and with the political machine. This article says, and I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, in Tucker's larger article, he talks about what is happening with the Uvalde shooting, where 19 students were killed. As a result of that, Justin Trudeau in Canada makes the decision what to do against his people based on what happened in Uvalde, Texas, where 19 students were killed by a drug-crazed shooter. Justin Trudeau has introduced a bill that would ban Canadian citizens from buying any guns, ban citizens of selling or transferring all handguns within their own country. Again, handguns were not the cause of the shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Uvalde, nowhere near Canada, and yet Justin Trudeau is using that tragedy to disarm everyone who disagreed with him. This article says, by the way, the law would empower courts to confiscate all guns from all people, even if they have not committed any crimes in Canada. This article further states, ladies and gentlemen, it says for years, Joe Biden has supported the media, the media have talked about banning AR-15s, the so-called weapons of war, which are not, in fact, used by the military at all, but weapons of war have been their focus. President Biden, this is now a dialogue. The venom of haters, and their weapons of war. Richard Blumenthal said, assault-style weapons that are weapons of war. Governor Gavin Newsom said, and purchase these weapons of war. Cory Booker said, to get into all of these are loose likes, lost liberals that are on the blue color, if you will. Cory Booker said, to get these weapons of war off the streets. Chuck Schumer says, finally, ridding our streets of these weapons of war. Chris Murphy said, what we should be doing is taking these weapons of war out of the hands of citizens. Representative Castro said, because they see what these weapons of war do on the streets. The ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris says, an assault weapon is a weapon of war, and there's no place in this civil society for a weapon of war. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what they're going to harp on now, that this was a handgun that this shooter used and not a, quote, weapon of war. It wasn't a long gun, wasn't an automatic weapon, wasn't an AR-15. But, ladies and gentlemen, they're still pushing now and demanding already that we do something about these weapons of war that's being used. They're saying that somehow, some way, we should eviscerate, we should eliminate, we should just cancel our Second Amendment right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that push even today. I watched the governor of Michigan in a media conference, and she was all dressed up, and she wants to make sure the camera's shining on the right side of her face and that she is the high profile. But nevertheless, she said that this has got to stop. And one of the legislators from Michigan said, this has got to stop. We've got to cancel handguns. We've got to stop the use of handguns. We've got to take them out of the population and the circulation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, should citizens have the right of self-defense? right after the top of the hour news. We're going to continue this conversation. We invite your dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.